And know of someone who will say and do just about anything to gain your approval? A real smooth talker? But you know it's insincere? Today on The Balanced Word, we turn to the Proverbs and see what it has to say about flattery and hypocrisy.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my hand, and the instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
Who doesn't like to have someone say something nice about them or to them? But when it's insincere or in an attempt to win our favor, well, that's another story. Today on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolfe raises our awareness to the many people that are out there who are trying to scam us or take advantage of us. We could call them flatterers, and the Proverbs have a lot to say about them and how to identify them too. Here's Dave with more from our series, Smarter Living.
This year we're going through the book of Proverbs and pulling out different topics that Solomon, the wisest man ever, teaches us about. And I have to say, by the way, whenever I go to other churches, I realize, man, our worship band is really good. We're so blessed. And I also want to say, because this is second service, you guys are the cream of the crop of our church. First service, they're kind of sleepy and you know, third service, they're just like stumbling in. Third service, they just woke up. And, you know, but second service, you guys are, I'm looking out here and I'm thinking, we have really good looking people that come to second service and they're sharp and alert and ready to learn. And well, what I just did is called flattery. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So, you know, let me define flattery for you. It's, you know, it can seem over the top and ridiculous, but the definition of flattery is excessive praise or approval, which is often insincere. In my case, it wasn't. I was completely being sincere. If you heard first service on the radio, I did say the same kinds of things to them, but that was insincere. I'm saying it to you. But it's often insincere and sometimes contrived in order to win favor. Think in terms of flattery and just hypocrisy. Think about the devil. It's like this is what he did from the beginning. This is how he always comes to us. He doesn't come like some Halloween character trying to frighten and scare us. He came to Eve, and he just comes up to her in the garden, and he's like, you are the most beautiful woman in the world. The only woman in the world, but the most beautiful. And he goes, so you're not supposed to eat that fruit, huh? She goes, yeah, God said we're going to die. He's like, you? Are you kidding me? You are so close to perfection. You're almost as smart as God, and God doesn't want you to eat that fruit, and you will become the queen of the world. And she just bought it. If you think later when Satan came to Jesus, he didn't come and go, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to destroy you. His head didn't start spinning around spewing out pea soup. He comes to Jesus and he's like, you got a God who has you fasting for 40 days. You are so powerful. Turn those rocks into bread. Come on, man. You deserve it. You've got this coming for you. You know, you're the Son of God. You could throw yourself down and the angels would catch you before you hit the ground. And, you know, you deserve to rule the world. I can make that happen. That's the devil. He comes and he scams. He comes and he appeals to a lower desire in us. And he sells us. He pitches us on something that he makes us think this is for our good, when actually it's not at all. The devil is still behind an awful lot of flattery that goes on in the world. Now, when we're talking about Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, this is a guy who certainly knew something about flattery, no doubt. He's the most powerful man in the world, the richest man in the world. Everybody who came to Solomon had an angle, had a scam, had something they were trying to sell him on. So all day long, Solomon's listening to people flattering him, people sucking up to him, people, you know, complimenting him in order to get what they want. That was the way of life for him. But not only that, I suspect that Solomon did his share of flattery as well. I mean, think about it. How do you propose to wife number 700? You know, I know there's those other 699, but you're the one I've been looking for. You know, every night with a different woman. Like, you know, I know there's a lot of women, but all of them, I just, you know, it was political when I married them. You're the one I married for love. So he certainly knew how to pull deals himself as well. He knew how to kiss up constantly, and people did that to him as well. As we look in some of the verses that talk about flattery, there are two different Hebrew words that the English translates both of them as flattery. One of them, patha, is a word that means to seduce or to entice, just to bring someone in. And at its root, it was referring to somebody who's trying to attract someone and scam them of somebody of the opposite sex. The other word, kalak in the Hebrew, is a word that means smooth. So together, the idea of, you know, flattery and hypocrisy is the idea of smooth talking someone in order to draw them into what you want them to do, make them think you're helping them, but in actuality, you're making them help you. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 20, the first verse we will look at, Proverbs 20 and verse 19, where Solomon says, Proverbs 20, 19, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips." That's the word patha, who entices and seduces with his lips. Now, what he's saying is be careful about people who do this. But he says don't associate with them. Now, we might look at that and say, are you kidding me? I feel like everybody's pitching something. How can I avoid associating with people who are like this? Well, that word to associate, it's actually the word that was used for braiding. And the idea is to be interlaced with, to be interconnected with. Don't get into relationships of mutual dependence with people who are pushing a pitch, people who have an agenda, people who are trying to do what they're going to do. Solomon would say, be careful to count on, to depend on somebody who demonstrates themselves to be the kind of person who's really trying to get you to do what they want you to do. Watch those kinds of mutually interdependent relationships. Now turn over to chapter 29, Proverbs 29 and verse 5. Solomon says, "A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet." In other words, when somebody is kissing up to you, when somebody is just over the top about how much they think you're really looking good now, they think you're really special, boy, you're my best friend, I don't know what I'd do without you. He says, be careful, because people do that often who are laying a net for you. They want to catch you. They're looking for something. You are being hustled. And the truth is, until we realize this, we're always going to be suckers. That all around us are people who are trying to seduce us. All around us are people who are trying to entice us. They have something to sell, whatever it is, and they're trying to work us to make us be the object of what is going to ultimately help them. Now, you notice this when people are trying to sell stuff to you, certainly. But maybe you're not aware of how involved people are in trying to seduce you to purchase their products. If you use the internet, maybe you've noticed, it used to be that random ads popped up, right? But today, there's a thing called programmatic advertising. I have a good friend who, that's what she does. She directs that for a big advertising firm out of New York. And what they do is they know everything you click on the internet. They know everything you've ever bought, every ad you've ever read, every news story that you've ever looked at, every junk mail that you clicked on. All of that information is out there. And their goal is to hit you with ads that are going to appeal to you. They know you sometimes better than you know yourself. Now, sometimes programmatic advertising is kind of funny. Like, one time when I bought on the internet, I bought some frozen silverware, kids' silverware, for my granddaughter, Sadie. After that, I'm bombarded. Every website I go to is like, diapers and, kids and Play-Doh. And it's like Legoland, and you need to do, it's like if you have a Disneyland pass, you know how this goes. You're just constantly bombarded with things that they think people that go to Disneyland will be, will appeal to them, like taking a Disney cruise or going to a Disney resort or whatever. See, more than you're aware of, they're after you. And they have enough information about you to be able to direct their efforts to scam you with you thinking that you saw something randomly. Now, you might know years ago on the internet, it was really annoying that you would have pop-ups, for like pornographic stuff. I haven't seen one of those in years. I'm not saying I miss them, but but it's like now if you're still getting pornographic pop-ups, there's a reason. There's something that you've clicked on, there's something that you've done that's actually causing them to direct that. They got too much heat from directing those kinds of ads to people who are offended by that kind of stuff. So if you, tend to click on certain sorts of links, it'll make you less likely to get those sorts of advertisements. But you're the object. Now, people know your cell phones, have information about you because of that. There's cameras everywhere, so they can track where you're going. Now, even they can access your computer at home. The camera lens that's in your computer, when your computer's off, they still have ways of being able to see what you're doing. And it's not just the government who's intruding, it's other governments. The fact is, there are companies in China that make billions of dollars scamming on you so that they can sell your information to somebody who wants to appeal to you. So the idea of a sales pitch, it's more than ever before. And of course, when you're looking at, when you're looking at politics, oh my, it's all a pitch. Everything is directed not toward anyone saying, well, here's what I personally believe. It's like, what can I say that sounds like what I'm supposed to say? It's just the way our culture operates now. You are being scammed on, and a net is being set for your feet. Maybe not to destroy you, just to get you to do what they want you to do. It's a reality of life more today than ever before. And the truth is, some of us want to be scammed. Some of us are actually, most people who are really scamming, they do so, they appeal to people's greed. You hear a deal, you know it sounds too good to be true, but you end up clicking on it anyway. You end up going, well, I know they haven't found a cure for everything, but it's only $40. It would have been $2.99, then it's not $2.99, it's not $1.99, it's not $50, it's just $40, $39.95, free shipping. Or you can just click and then you have the information and you go, you want to believe lies sometimes. That's why when you go to try on clothes in the store, the mirrors in the dressing rooms are distorted to make you look thinner. And you think what you're trying on makes you look thin until you get home and look at it in a normal mirror and you're like, whoa, I put on 10 pounds between the store and here. But then you kind of, now people sell those kind of mirrors to you at home. So it's like, there's a part of us that wants to be lied to, and that's why it's so easy to lay a net for our feet. Because we're kind of like Sheryl Crow in that one song says, lie to me, I promise, I'll believe. We make these deals where it's like, you lie to me, I'll lie to you. You tell me I look good, I'll tell you you look good. And it's like, I want to be scammed. It appeals to my greed. Most pyramid schemes that happen, people know. I mean, they're not just completely stupid. But when they tell you, you can earn 10% per month, yeah, who wouldn't want to do that? You don't sit and analyze it and go, wait, this doesn't. Nobody is scamming you who says, you can earn right now 1% per year on your money. But that's about the best you're going to do from something that's really safe. Nobody says that. They're going to, you can get 10%, you can get 20% per year. And the greed within us makes us a sucker for that net that's being laid for us that's really just trying to scam us. Now turn over to chapter 26. Proverbs 26. And because when we look at the fact that, okay, there are people out there who are trying to scam us, there are people out there who are trying to take advantage of us, we can go, yeah, it's kind of funny. What harm can be done? Well, here in Proverbs 26, beginning with verse 22, Solomon talks about the kind of damage that can come from this. He says, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. He who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. This tendency, this obvious sort of thing that says, man, there are a bunch of people out there lying, flattering, buttering me up, scamming me. It can ruin you. It's kind of funny, you end up buying some product you don't really need, and you know, no big deal, no damage done. But it all of that sort of conditions us to be targets, to be suckers. As soon as you're a sucker for one product, you're bombarded with other products. I don't know, it's funny, I've never bought a timeshare in my life, but what I do instead is I find people who aren't using their timeshares, and I'll just buy a week from them. So we used to go to Hawaii, we'd try to go every year, and there's this one place that I really like. I could always get somebody on eBay selling their week, but what it does is now somehow all these people think that I buy timeshares. I don't. I just, you know, they put it into my name for that 1 week. But now my cell phone rings every day, a couple times a day. And it's an automated message. It's harmless. It doesn't hurt anything. But the truth is, it can hurt things. There are ways out there in which we can be devastated by this. It's a real danger. Now, one more scripture, chapter 21 of Proverbs and verse 27. And I think this might be the most dastardly kind of deception, hypocrisy. He says, Proverbs 21:27, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with wicked intent? Here he's talking about when people use God, when people use religion as a way to get something that they want. It's like, it's one thing. I mean, what does it hurt when a salesman's pushing a product? They're just doing that. But the worst thing of all is when somebody is pitching God, when somebody is trying to use whatever methods they can to just suck people in. And God's like, that's disgusting to me. I am not somebody who's looking for pitchmen. I knew a guy who recently who's an IT guy. And he was working for a large church. He was all excited because he had been working in the world, you know, for his whole adult life. And now he got a job at a church. And that church had put scanners in, and they were scanning all the cell phones of the people on the property to get information about him. And he's like, that just doesn't feel right. And he quit. Now I think he works for Amazon. But, you know, it was like, really? To do scamming in the name of Jesus? That's horrible. I mean, it's just like people who use, you know, and you'll read about it sometimes, somebody who's a pastor who ends up scamming on women who are in the ministry who, like, look up to them as a pastor. Using Jesus as your wingman to just get what you want, that's disgusting to God. That's so sickening. Religious hypocrisy is the worst hypocrisy of all. So you have to ask yourself a question. If, in fact, there are people out there trying to suck us in, if, in fact, they can do us great damage, how do you know who those people are? Because you can easily get to the point where you're, like, suspicious of everyone. You're like, oh, yeah, they're all out scamming me. What are you trying to do? How are you trying to reach me? So how can we identify these people who are the ones we really need to look out for? Well, this has been a lifelong subject, I think, throughout history. How do you know the difference between a flatterer and a friend. Well, I saw there's a short pamphlet book sort of thing that a guy named Plutarch wrote. Plutarch was a Greek biographer and historian, brilliant guy. And Plutarch lived just after Jesus had died. He was born like in the 40s AD and lived until like 120 AD. But he wrote a book called How to Tell a Flatterer from a Friend. And I thought some of these things were pretty good guidelines for us, and I think Solomon would approve. He said, first of all, a flatterer is mutable. That means he's changeable. He's inconsistent. He's not his own man, but he ever changes to be the man he thinks will appeal to his victim. So you never know what the guy really wants. He adjusts. A flatterer praises indiscriminately and copies his vices rather than his virtues. So he's more, you know, drawn to the things, the baser parts of you, the worst motives in you, than he is in the best things about you. He also is always seeking to please you. And a flatterer is somebody who, well, Plutarch has this great idea. He says, if you want to test whether somebody in your life is a flatterer or a friend, he said, give them a piece of really stupid advice and see if they say, good idea. Because a flatterer will be like, you can say you're going to do the most ridiculous thing, and they'll go for it. That sounds awesome. So Plutarch was advocating just giving absurd advice and seeing if they agree with your disagreeable counsel. A flatterer, he said, appeals to the lower, not the higher nature of his victim. It appeals to your selfishness, appeals to your greed. Beware of one, he says, who is too eager to seem a friend and who works too hard at gaining your trust. Somebody who's like desperate to be your friend is somebody that you should probably be a little suspicious of. He also says the flatterer labors to please rather than profit you. The person would rather make you happy than to make you better and to do better. A flatterer will seek to separate you from your true friends by speaking ill of them. They bag on all your other friends so that they're the only one that's left standing as your true friend. Plutarch argues that we really need friends not just for companionship, but he says you need friends as truth tellers. One of the values of a friend, Plutarch says, is that you have somebody who will tell you the truth, whether it's something that you really want to hear or not. You know that they will be honest with you. Now, there are some people who always be negative about everything. That's not a friend. There are other people who are always think what you're doing is brilliant. That's not a friend either. A friend will tell you if they think that you're doing something dumb. They'll be honest with you. And he says, a friend labors to profit you rather than please you. And he says, as they do that, they're acting like God does. Truth-telling often requires the friend to reprove us, something the flatterer, ever fearful of losing our confidence, cannot do sincerely or effectively.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Let's return to Pastor Dave for the rest of his message on flattery and hypocrisy.
Some of the other clues that somebody in your life is a flatterer, scammer, rather than a friend, they flatter you too much. They just think that everything you do and every day, it's like, wow, you look amazing today. I appreciate that sentiment, but it's you don't look amazing every day. And somebody who's always telling you that, you might want to wonder. You may look really silly today, and they're not going to tell you, and you'd really want to know. You need to look out for people who hate other people, because if they're bagging on other people to you, chances are they're going to be bagging to other people about you. It's just what some people do. It's the cheapest way to elevate yourself is by just putting down other people.
We'll continue our series in the Proverbs next time on The Balanced Word with Dave Roth. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And